This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Our show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and it's Friday Politics on WWNO and WRKF. And with us is James Carville, the fabled political consultant who still calls Louisiana home after all these years, and his travels have taken him across the world, and it is pertinent to talk with him now 95 days before the November 5th election. He was with us 2 months ago, and he said at that time, before the infamous debate between former President Trump and President Biden, that Joe Biden needed to step aside, and it took a while, but that's where we are, and now it's a real horse race between the Vice President Kamala Harris and the former President Donald Trump. Your number is 877-217-5757. 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. For James Carville, the pride of Ascension Catholic High School in Donaldsonville, LSU, and Louisiana State University Law School. And today is the 87th anniversary of the birth of one Billy Cannon. When he died in 2018, he was LSU's only Heisman Trophy winner. And now, almost 7 years later, we have Joe Burrow. That's a Freudian slip. Joe Burrow, who won in 2019, and Jaden Daniels, who won in 2023. And James Carville, before we get to the politics, we're now inside a month before college football, and LSU will open. And I know you follow the Tigers. In listener notes, when I mentioned birthdays, that you and Brian Kelly share the same birthday of October 25th. How is Brian Kelly and, by extension, his Tigers, how are they going to do this year?
The 2 years before he got to us, I think we were one game under 500. Since he's been there, he's 20-6. So that's 14 games.
20-7. Well, I tell you what, you're on the road, and Robin's going to try to get you to a little better place, because I know if I'm having trouble hearing you, our listeners may be as well, but let's see what we can do with Chester James Carville, who, of course, is bullish on his LSU Tigers, and it's the third year for Brian Kelly, who's a little bit younger, but not much, than James Carville, who has a 10-year contract, so he still has 7 years to go after this, and they share the same birthday of 25 October. 877-217-5757 is your number. James and Harvey, we begin with you, James. Good morning, sir. Hi, James.
Good morning. Mr. Carville, I've got a question for you. I hope it's not too long. But when I was in the Air Force back in the 90s, the reading level for training material was 9 to 10th grade level. Most newspapers today write at 7 or 8th grade level. I want to know, what is your opinion on the sophistication and emotional level of political thought these days?
All right. Well, I think James says we're dumbing down as a people. We're obviously not as informed as we should be as a people. But James, have you noticed any difference in the way newspapers produce their product? He says, James does, that the reading level is lower now than it used to be. What are your thoughts?
About reading levels?
That's what he said. Now, I'm not sure. I don't believe that, but James said it, and I do. Go ahead.
Well, if you look at, first of all, the pandemic did cause a pretty good setback. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say that people read less than they did before, I'm not too sure.
Well, they may read more because they're on their phones reading, but is that the way to absorb information in a way that is informative? Or are we just reinforcing what we know?
What we did that we know is not correct is we said we got more information than ever available, therefore that'll make us smarter. It probably has made us dumber.
Okay?
Yeah. Made us dumber.
Yes, because what happens is, like when I was at LSU, you could get the Morning Advocate. Maybe just a Picayune, but not every day. And you would go in the Student Union and get the New York Times about 4 days late, and Wall Street Journal would be on a stick. and then you had Walter Cronkite and, you know, David Brinkley and Chet Huntley, and that was about it. Man, Meet the Press. That was it. But it was a common vat that we all drank from. What happens is there's a lot of people that go to news sources that they agree with. So all they know is what they're told on something they agree with. So if you listen to Fox, you would think crime in the United States is out of control, when in fact, crime in the United States is plummeting at an almost historic rate. I'm sure if you listen to some left-wing site, after you put left-wing, I mean, you would think that trans people are the biggest issue facing the United States. It's just designer news, I call it. Yeah, you can right. get anything that you want to hear, and you pay for it, people will tell you. Mm-hmm. And that's a sad commentary, I think, on people. And when you hear the stupidest thing a human being can say, I do my own research. I just bury my head in my hands. Oh, God. See, you that stupid? I'm not going to pay attention to the research that they do at MD Anderson. I know more than they do. No, you don't. You do not.
Okay.
Do what they tell you to do. That was your research.
All right. Sam in New Orleans. Sam, you're on with James Carville. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine.
I just wanted to mention, you know, as we live in a state with the most per capita incarcerated people, what's your opinion on the governor's new ideals of strengthening laws and lessening the abilities for people to make appeals to the court?
We have a law and order governor has a different approach than the previous one. Your thoughts?
I don't think it's law and order with hidden carry in the French Quarter. I think that's anti-law and order. But more than that, I think it's stupid. All right? And I don't know very many people that disagree with me. But, I'd be willing to bet that all of this doesn't do very much about the crime rate, which, by the way, in New Orleans has dropped pretty good. But we're not allowed to say that. it's like crazy. Hey, what New Orleans needs more than anything else, they need to move some money and improve the infrastructure there. I was listening to, they had an NPR, a reporter from the Picayune, and Mark Morrell, and the state of our infrastructure is beyond horrendous. But having hidden carry in the French Quarter is a terrible idea. Terrible. So, I know the governor says he's law and order. Let's see what the effects of this is.
All right. Jason in Baton Rouge. Jason, you're on with the Raging Cajun James Carville.
Hey, Jason.
Yes, sir. Good morning, James and Jim. I just had a comment for James. I love his YouTube channel.
Thank you.
Everything, yes, sir. Everything from Louisiana history to drinking straws is covered there. Of course, all the politics in between. So just keep the episodes coming, and it's very educational and entertaining. Thank you, James.
Well, thank you, Jason.
Well, thank you, Jason. Yeah, I just have a news. You go to James Carver YouTube straws. I drink root beer.
James in Longview, Texas. James, good morning. You're on with James Carville.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning, James. Anyhow, I just want to ask, James, do you expect any wild cards or any surprises out of the Democrat convention in Chicago?
But, Jim, repeat to me, do I sound like a wild card?
Yeah. Are any surprises?
I mean, look, there have been so many surprises this year. Only a fool would say, well, we're not going to have any surprises, but I'm going to make a statement that might haunt me. I think it's going to go pretty much as predicted.
Well, right now, it is amazing what 2 weeks have done, and it's not even 2 weeks. It's 12 days since Biden got out.
So let's, if you back up, look at the just staggering events that we've had. First of all, no one has had a debate quite like Biden had back in June the 26th, right? Then a bullet turns literally inches from Trump's head, all right? So at that time, we all, everybody said, it's either like Trump's going to win. And then one Sunday at 1:45 in the afternoon, he announces he drops out, Harris gets in, and she, I just saw she raised $300-something million in a week. I mean, think about that. And the J.D. Vance thing is going historically bad. It's not going bad. It's going worse than bad. And now we'll see what she'll do, you know, with the vice presidential pick, but she's going to get a...
Well, we do have to take an 89.3-second break, and we'll be back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, Friday Politics on WRKF Baton Rouge and WWNO, standing tall and proud on the lakefront in New Orleans. James Carville, who spends a lot of time in New Orleans, he is a true Louisianian, never forgot where he came, from where he came, and he is here in our midst talking about what's happening in our world. And, of course, if you have comments about what's happening in Louisiana, we welcome those as well. 877-217-5757. Robin Dow ready to take your call at 877-217-5757. When we hit the break, James, you were talking about J.D. Vance. It's been a rocky start for him, and was he properly vetted, or is this what Donald Trump wanted?
Well, according to news reports, it's always a thing that it was Don Jr., and Tucker Carlson, they wanted J.D. And Trump said, according to news reports, yeah, I've seen him on TV. He's pretty good. And Murdoch, I'm not making this up. Please check me out. Murdoch wanted Doug Burgum bad. And Trump went with Tucker and Don Jr., and it turned out to be an utter disaster. And now, of course, you have these reports, which are accurate, that Caputo is not going to make you mess this up, that Kellyanne Conway is leaking all over everything. It's not a happy little camp down there in Mar-a-Lago at all. And Trump knows that he picked a turkey. The cat lady comment, that's penetrated everything. That's water cooler talk, that's Walmart talk, that's everything. And I don't think this guy, I think this guy is deeply weird. I mean, more than weird. I think he's creepy. And I got news for Trump and him. More is coming. This has not stopped.
Who does Harris choose for her running mate?
Well, I did a Substack video. If I had to guess, it'd be one of the names you're hearing now. Shapiro, Bashir, Waltz, Kelly. I mean, there's always a chance they could pull a surprise. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, they deserve some credit because they kept the thing pretty much under wraps.
Well, right now.
I know Bashir.
Go ahead.
Bashir is in it, and he would be a terrific choice. Young.
But he's from Kentucky. He's from Kentucky. He can't bring her Kentucky.
I don't know if Josh can bring Pennsylvania.
Well,
the academics, the science on that is very, political science on that is very, very problematic.
But if she doesn't win Pennsylvania, she's in a world of hurt, isn't she?
Right. But my point is, I'm not sure bringing Josh alone really helps you. There's not what you want. And Josh, you did. When you pick a vice president, what you want is 4+2=4+1. When we picked Al Gore, and it took that picture, the Gores and the Clintons, the background, you kind of knew we were going to win. It was two people in their 40s in a country that had World War II generation governing it. I guess Truman was World War One, but from Eisenhower on through Bush.
Yeah.
And it was just like a startling change. Go ahead.
No, it was magic. Clinton was 46, right. Gore was 44. I remember the
two Southern whites.
Yeah, Ivy League educated. They were really, and they were alike, as we know, in many ways, even though their personalities were different. But it worked, and people thought. I remember Marlon Fitzwater said that when Gore chose. Or when Clinton chose Gore, he said, well, Gore will help him carry Arkansas. Well, Gore helped him carry a lot of places, didn't he?
Yes. But what I think more than any specific state, it set the tone that we were, remember the whiteboard in the war room was change versus more to say. And the more it looked like change, the better off you're going to be. And I'll make just one point, is the chin scratches and throat clears. So it's very important that the president pick as a vice president, candidate, pick as a vice president, someone that they're comfortable with and can step in and be president from day one if necessary. That's stupid. That's stupid on steroids. So let's go back and look at some of our great presidents. Do you think Abraham Lincoln wanted to hang out or like Andrew Johnson? Do you think that Franklin Roosevelt liked or wanted to hang out with John Nance Gardner? Do you think that John F. Kennedy liked or wanted to hang out with Lyndon Johnson? Do you think that Ronald Reagan liked and wanted to hang out with George H.W. Bush? Such a stupid pie hole. You know nothing of what you speak. You should pick a vice presidential candidate with one goal in mind. Does it help me win the election? That's it. Period. End of discussion.
Well, if you don't win. You don't win, you got nothing. You got nothing.
Nothing. If you got talking points. That's my point. And this, there's one thing in this game. Winning, after that, nothing else.
Steve,
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, Steve in New Orleans. We've got some folks waiting, but please be concise with James Carville. Hi, Steve in New Orleans. You're on.
Thanks a lot. I'm curious what James thinks about the following approach that I think the Democrats don't harp on enough. Why don't they focus on the empty promises that Trump has made? Because he's doing it again. And just real quick examples. Repeal and replace Obamacare, day one. He didn't have a thought on it. Nothing happened. Bring back beautiful coal. Same thing. And the most obvious, Mexico paying for the wall.
All right. What about the promises Trump did not keep, and yet he keeps... He keeps saying that he can do this, that, and the other, but is that the issue, or is Trump's just overbearing personality the issue, or is it both?
I think the issue is, do you want to go back to 4 years ago, or do you want to push forward? Do you really want the same thing you had? Or would you rather have something new? Right? To say that Trump lies is to say Trump breathes. And the people, I'll be very specific, the people that vote for him demand that they be lied to. Not only did it not bother them, they like it. They like it. But I think Trump is an old play, an old act. And it was really a good act, and people came out, and the act went a long time. And then after a while, they just got tired of it. And I think we might be at that stage where he does the same thing, and the same thing doesn't work the way it used to. And his punchlines just don't carry the same zing. His J.D. Vance pick, basically, was a disaster. I'll say this publicly, and it might come back. I don't think that Trump can beat Harris. I do think Harris can beat Harris. That's what I think. If Harris runs a smart campaign, stays away from making big errors, kind of reassures people, I think she's going to win.
Patricia.
I don't think people want to go back.
Patricia in Baton Rouge, you're on with James Carville. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Senate Majority Leader Schumer had a vote on the child tax credit that had gotten bipartisan passing in the House, and I was wondering if he was doing that to kind of underline the position that the Democrats actually want to do something for people with children rather than just talking points.
James?
Yeah, the question is very smart, and the answer is absolutely. So the House passed legislation, the Republican House, led by Mike Johnson, I might add, and the Republican credit, and it had contained in that a child tax credit. And the Senate decided they didn't want to give this in an election year, and you needed 60 votes to bring it up in the Senate, and all the Republicans were against it. Also, remember that Senator Jim Lankford of Oklahoma and Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut worked out.
Okay, we're going to, that's the immigration bill. We'll talk about that and more with James Carville after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, Robin Dow producing, and James Carville is our special guest. We're 95 days away from the presidential election. 8 elections ago, he led Bill Clinton to, at the time, an improbable victory over George Herbert Walker Bush. If you remember, George Bush's popularity level was in the 80s after the first war in the Middle East under two different Bushes, and of course the first one ended better than the second, but that changed, and it was largely about the economy, and now there are other issues that are being discussed, and the Republicans are focusing on the economy, saying that inflation is rampant. It really is not. It was, but it's not now, and that immigration is the scourge of the nation. It's causing great problems in our country. James, when we hit the break, I think you were referring to the bill that was a Republican bill that Joe Biden agreed to sign, and then suddenly it was off the table.
Well, it was negotiated by Senator Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, and Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat of Connecticut. But it was very, very, and it was endorsed by all the Border Patrol agents, is what we need on the border. And then Trump said he didn't want to give Biden an election year win. And the Republicans got scared and backed off passing the bill. Now, the truth about it, for right now, border crossings are down to a pretty reasonable number. But that's what happened. And I don't think there's a single person that doubts that.
John Kennedy, our junior senator, who, of course, is the darling of Fox News, and those of us who know him remember when he was a liberal pro-choice Democrat just 20 years ago. But now at the age of almost 73, he's had an epiphany, and he sent this message, and I'm on the list, and I hope he'll keep me on the list. I like reading his statements, but he says, I've got a couple of thoughts about President Biden's Supreme Court proposal. When Biden's proposal gets to Capitol Hill, it'll be as dead as Woodrow Wilson. I don't think this is really Biden's proposal at all. It's all, and I'm quoting Senator Kennedy, all the doing of ding-dong Kamala Harris. The Harris-Biden proposal is not about the Supreme Court. It's about their radical abortion stance. She supports abortion on demand. He continues, ding-dong Kamala Harris is ready to turn our country into a complete socialist state, beginning with destroying the Supreme Court. Let's be very clear. Kamala Harris is like AOC without the bartending experience, and she'll stop at nothing to seize power. This is from Senator Kennedy. Kamala Harris is Fidel Castro in training. And then he asks for money.
I think that's a little bit. I think he's somewhere that she is the most dangerous human being that ever existed on the planet Earth. But I don't know, but I distinctly remember that. This came pretty close. Come on, Senator, you can do better than this. I mean, get wound up and tell us, you know, tell us who she really is. Fear not. Okay? Fear not, Senator. Step up to the plate, you know, and say what she is. I tell you what, I think it's 5-2. If I had to book a bet that Trump uses the N word before election day.
And the question now, I think he's capable of that based on his statements.
I don't know, 5-2. I mean, it's 60% chance he doesn't.
Well, here is Donald Trump. I know you've heard it, but for those who missed it, here he is, and he did go to the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, but he went to Chicago, and of course he made news, and I probably intended to make news. Here's how he sounded.
I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black.
All right, that's Donald Trump. What in the world was he thinking?
Well, first of all, she went to a black university, Howard, which is kind of, okay. She belonged to black sorority. I don't know. What's he thinking? His people, anything that draws attention to race, and anything that draws attention to, well, she's confused. All right. And I love the fact that Trump and J.D. Vance are so anti-immigration. Well, if it wouldn't be for immigration, they couldn't find a wife. Okay. And then they make J.D. Vance the nominee. And his wife is a very accomplished clerk for the Supreme Court with top law
no
student.
Doubt.
But they won't see pictures of her because Stu Peters and who's the other guy? Nick Fuentes said it's a disgrace that he didn't have a white as his running mate. So you're not going to see a lot of Mrs. Vance. My point is when you build a house, you build a structure based on racism, it falls on you sometimes. It's not a sound foundation. Mm-hmm. And of course, he went there to remind everybody that she's black.
All right. Well,
okay.
I want to interrupt for just a moment, and Robin has found the tape. This is a fair comparison. It's not, in my view, analogous, but it's apples and oranges. But Bill Clinton, as you know, in 1992 went before the Rainbow Coalition with Jesse Jackson sitting right there and made some statements that irritated Reverend Jackson. And it was obviously done so for some sort of political advantage as campaigns go. But here's how William Jefferson Clinton sounded in 1992 at the Rainbow Coalition convention.
Let's stand up for what's always been best about the Rainbow Coalition, which is people coming together across racial lines. You talked about Mr. Fields from Louisiana that you had here last night, a great role model. We don't have a lot of time to do this. We don't have a lot of time. You had a rap singer here last night named Sister Soulja. I defend her right to express herself through music. But her comments before and after Los Angeles were filled with the kind of hatred that you do not honor today and tonight. Just listen to this, what she said. She told the Washington Post about a month ago, and I quote, "If black people kill black people every day, why not have a week and kill white people? So you're a gang member and you'd normally kill somebody? Why not kill a white person?" Last year she said, "You can't call me or any black person anywhere in the world a racist. We don't have the power to do to white people what white people have done to us. And even if we did, we don't have that low-down, dirty nature. If there are any good white people, I haven't met them. Where are they? Right here in this room. That's where they are." I know she is a young person, but she has a big influence on a lot of people. And when people say that, if you took the words white and black and you reversed them, you might think David Duke was giving that speech.
That was Bill Clinton. And in 1992, he gained some political capital by that, making that speech, James Carville. You know it, but it was a risk. Go ahead.
Is there any word in that speech that a person would disagree with? A single word. And to say that's the equivalent of somebody who not knowing what their race is, you're right. I wouldn't call it. It's not apples and oranges. It's not apples and cockroaches. I mean,
But I heard it again. I hadn't heard it in a while. But it, at that time, she also was a lot of stabbing Mr. Goldberg. There's a lot of anti-Semitic stuff in there. And if you don't call out that kind of stuff, it'll just continue to fester. And I think it had some political advantage because it was issued that 100% of the people agreed with him on.
James in Metairie. James, you're on the air with James Carville.
Well, good morning, Jim. Good morning, James. Multiple factors I think are going to help Kamala Harris. The black female vote energized Trump's attacks on women, E. Jean Carroll, adulterous sex with a porn star. Jane, what about this? What's James's opinion on the emergence of Project 2025 and Vance's idea to give people with children more votes? Thanks.
All right, good. There's a lot. So Project 2025, which is something that some really, really right wing people set up. They're all kind of connected to Trump. And they want to get rid of the federal civil service. They want to radicalize the whole formation of federal government. Trump instinctively saw this wasn't a good idea and started to try to get some distance from it. The guy that ran it, some creep, decided that he would resign. It was a politically toxic idea, if you will. What was the second part of the question, Jim? Sorry, I got lost.
I think you got it. 877-217-5757 for James Carville. And Evan Gershkovich of the Wall Street Journal is free, as is Paul Whelan. A massive prisoner swap, and if Joe Biden were still the candidate, he would probably be reaping some benefit from this. But independent of that, this is a huge development, and I didn't see it coming, James.
I didn't either, and it was huge. And of course, Trump and him tried to take credit for it. It was like 14 different nations. It was the most complicated hostage swap since World War II. And they can't even be happy about that. And I say, I don't think Trump can beat Harris. I think Harris can beat Harris.
Well, when you say that, what would she do that would be a disaster?
You could go and have a campaign that gives up ours of cultural superiority. I think they'll be very careful at the convention to not be too many famous people, not too many Hollywood people. All right, she's done pretty good herself.
She's had an amazing 12 days, and we'll go the distance with James Carville back with another quarter hour after this timeout on Talk Louisiana. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757, 877-217-5757. It's Friday Politics on WWNO New Orleans and WRKF Baton Rouge with James Carville.
And Jim, I've got ahead. Time for one more.
Okay, well James, I know a few matters. First of all, there's a documentary about you that is coming soon and very soon.
Yes. Yeah, let me talk about that for a second. We're going to open, I can't tell you the name of it, in Western Colorado Film Festival Labor Day weekend. And we're going to have a showing in New Orleans at the Britannia probably around October 21st, 22nd. It'll be public. It was directed by Matt Tynar, who's done up the gorge of Where's My Roy Cohn, Valentino, the four-hour movie on the Reagans, and it's good. I'm very excited about it. Both Mary and I are very excited. And I hope that I can come on before the show in Louisiana. And I haven't actually seen it yet, but people have said the cinematography in it in Louisiana is just gorgeous. So I can't wait to see it.
Well, very good. And several listeners, you've done work in the Middle East and in Israel.
Right.
And here we are in the middle of a conflict that is now 10 months old, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. In fact, it right now is it's a powder keg after what happened on Tehran with the killing of a top right. Hamas leader. What's your take?
My take is that when I worked in Israel, Ehud Barak and Bill Clinton came up with a two-state solution with demilitarized zones and
adjusted for land, you know, taken over the years, and that's the only way this is going to end. And anything else is just not going to end. But thank you, man. Let's do it again. Yeah, but I'm behind.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm got you. Okay. Okay, well, we'll let you go. I know you're a busy fellow who keeps going at the age of 79, almost 80 years old, Chester James Carville. We do have some folks online, so if you're so inclined, you can pose your question or your comments to me. 877-217-5757. Jock in New Orleans. Hello, Jock.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
This is actually Jack. It's Jack, like Jack
okay,
and Jill.
Okay. Anyway, I apologize.
Here's a question, and I wanted to ask Mr. Carville, but you can answer it as well. I heard throughout the Democratic efforts to have another 4 years of Democrats saying that Trump was a threat to democracy and so forth and so on. How do you square that with what happened with Kamala Harris becoming the candidate for the Democratic Party without having a single vote cast for her in the primary? How does that work? So if you could explain it, I'll let you answer, and enjoy your show. Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jack. And I can tell you're a sincere person, but parties choose candidates, and it's done at the convention. And there is not a nominee yet. And the guy who got the votes, Joe Biden, stepped aside, and he endorsed his vice president. And this is not new. As I have noted, it's been done in both parties. In 1968, Richard Nixon had enough delegates to get the Republican nomination, and Ronald Reagan went to Miami as the governor of California and tried to take it away from him unsuccessfully. 1976, Reagan lost to Gerald Ford in the primaries, but Reagan went to Kansas City and fought to the final wire, tried to take the nomination away from the guy who got the most delegates. 1980, Ted Kennedy lost to Jimmy Carter in the primaries and came back at the convention in New York and tried to take the nomination away from Jimmy Carter. So it's decided at the convention. And in 1968, Hubert Humphrey, LSU graduate, did not enter any primaries and won the convention, won the nomination at the convention in Chicago for the Democrats, and then lost a close race to Richard Nixon. So I don't think there's anything sinister. It's not overturning an election that was decided on a particular day and was decided fairly, as Donald Trump tried to do in 2020. There is a major distinction. 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson. Phil, good morning. Nice to hear your voice, Phil.
Good morning, Jim. You know, everyone in the world right now,
okay, Phil, I tell you what, you're so crackly, I'm having difficulty hearing you. Let's see if Robin can get you situated, and if she can, we'll give it another shot. But this is not going to work the way we are right now. But we are 95 days away from the election, and in Louisiana, we'll be voting for congressional districts. And there is a newly drawn 6th district, which means that the other districts also have changed. Now, it's a case in which all the incumbents are favored and will likely hold their seats. When I say likely, 99.9% chance all of them will win. But in the 6th district, it's different, and Cleo Fields is the favorite. Garrett Graves opted not to run in a majority black district. And that opens up the discussion about 2026, 2 years from now, when Bill Cassidy is on the ballot in a closed primary. And he voted to impeach Donald Trump. He voted to sustain the election. And both of those votes were not popular with many Republicans in Louisiana and elsewhere. And Cassidy would appear to be vulnerable. Graves voted the other way on those. He quite likely will run against Bill Cassidy if political prognosticators are correct. And one of the people very close to Congressman Graves is Billy Tozan, who thinks that that is the likely scenario. Again, 877-217-5757. I mentioned that 12 days ago when Joe Biden got out, the first odds in Las Vegas had Kamala Harris 30 points behind Donald Trump. Today, it's Trump at 49.9, under 50%, and Harris at 44.3. So the gap, and that's not a poll, that's just odds of winning. And then Obama, Michelle Obama, still at 1.5%, and Hillary Clinton at 0.8%. So that's 2.3% from Democratic candidates that will likely go away pretty quickly, and that 2.3 would most likely be transferred to Kamala Harris. But the electoral count right now, with no toss-up states, just based on who is winning in those states, has Trump at 297 and Harris at 241. And the two states that are really, really close now, Michigan and Pennsylvania. Michigan, Harris is up. Pennsylvania, Trump is up. And Wisconsin is basically dead even. Trump 0.2. So they give him the advantage in Wisconsin. But both of those states went to Harris. She would move to 270. And that's the magic number. That's the number needed to win an election for president, 270 votes in the Electoral College. Phil in Jefferson Terrace, I think we got you to a better spot now. Phil, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you so much. Well, everyone in the world with a cell phone is watching the ongoing genocide of Palestinian civilians in Gaza.
All right. Well, that's an issue that will be, I'm sure, discussed at the Democratic Convention and how President Biden has handled that, and by extension, the Vice President. But there is, shall we say, a vigorous attack in response to another attack. Israel didn't start this. They were attacked on October 7th, but when there are talks going on for a ceasefire and you kill the guy on the other side of the table, that's really not conducive to helping the cause, and that's basically what happened this week. But that was also after an attack on Israel in the Golan Heights in which 12 kids were killed. So this is a mess, and I think James Carville is right that it's not going to be resolved unless there is some sort of agreement on territory, and he calls it a two-state solution. I remember interviewing the Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, who wrote a book about this many years ago, and he stated that that was the only way, and this was almost 15 years ago. So it is not a new idea, but the Middle East could, of course, cause the whole world to get involved because we all have interests in that region, economically, culturally, and you name it. It is the center of the universe when it comes to religion. And it is a case in which if something goes awry, you now have Israel with nuclear capacity and Iran with probable nuclear capacity, at least close to it. And it could go really, really bad, really, really fast. So cooler heads, let's hope, prevail. And the good news yesterday, as James Carville noted, was the release of several prisoners in a massive swap. And it involves the Wall Street Journal reporter, Evan Gershkovic. His mother, as the Wall Street Journal reports today, his mother Ella arrived for an urgent 10:30 meeting at the White House with President Biden, 491st day of her son's detention, and she had been told to bring her husband and her daughter in a three-minute call that ended with a strict instruction, tell no one, and 5,000 miles away, Evan Gershkovich was in his final hours in Russia's custody. 32 years old, he'd been documenting Russia's descent into repression when agents grabbed him from a steakhouse and turned him into the story he'd been trying to cover. Now he was set to be a central component in one of the most complicated prisoner swaps in history. And this was done, and of course it involved Vladimir Putin, who usually kills his enemies. As part of this deal that had been discussed for months, Navalny was one of the people who would have been released, but Navalny died mysteriously, probably not of his own hand and probably not of natural causes based on other things that have happened in Russia. But it is a remarkable event and one worth celebrating, and the Wall Street Journal does it. And the sub-headline under Evan Gershkovich is free is that Paul Whelan is coming home after years of dashed hopes. So congratulations to America for succeeding in this endeavor. And we'll be back next week. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.